His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai ki jai. Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi ki jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. So we are in our Sunday feast program. I would first like to welcome all the devotees and the different newcomers and the guests for coming for the Sunday feast program. So we are discussing a series of topics in our Sunday feast program. For the past, I think, 4 or 5 weeks, we have been discussing the different incarnations of the Lord. Because incarnations of the Lord are actually unlimited in number. It is described that just like the waves in the ocean cannot be counted, similarly the number of incarnations of the Lord cannot be counted. But Jayadev Goswami, one of the Vaishnava poets, in his Gita Govinda, he has actually described 10 incarnations of the Lord. He has composed this famous Dashavatara Stotra. So when we hear this Dashavatara Stotra, it does not mean that the Lord has only 10 incarnations. If the Lord has unlimited number of incarnations. But he has especially chosen this 10 incarnations and he has described the glories of the Lord in 10 verses. So we are basically discussing the activities or the glories of these 10 incarnations in our series of Sunday feasts. And the previous Sunday feasts, different speakers had discussed about Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar, Vamana Avatar, Varahadev and Lord Ram. So today we are going to discuss about Narsingadev. And just few days back on Friday, we had actually celebrated Narsingadev's appearance day. It's also very appropriate to discuss about the glories of Narsingadev. So in today's Sunday feast program, I'll discuss mainly from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the glories of Narsingadev Prahlad Maharaj. The main part of 7th canto, the first 10 chapters describe the activities of Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingadev. The remaining 5 chapters describe the Varnashram Dharma. So we'll discuss, because the huge 10 chapters which contain so many profound purports of Srila Prabhupada, but we'll just discuss some verses from these chapters related to Narsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. So it is described in one particular verse in the 3rd canto, that whenever there is a friction between the devotees and the demons, then the Lord appears. Just like fire is present within the wood. Fire is always present within the wood. But when there is a friction between two pieces of wood or two stones, then that fire is actually brought out. So similarly, the Lord is actually always present in his abodes. But whenever there is a friction between the devotee and the demon, then the Lord appears. So when we talk about the Narsingadev's appearance, so we cannot actually separate this topic of Narsingadev's appearance from Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. Because the Lord appeared when there was a friction between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. So it is actually inseparable. So to talk about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj is actually equivalent to talking about the glories of Narsingadev. So in this 7th canto, The seventh canto begins with a question asked by Parishit Maharaj to Shukadev Goswami. So Parishit Maharaj asks a question. In fact, at the end of the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami describes the Shukadev Goswami has described the story of Maruts. Maruts are actually born of Kashyapa Muni and Diti. But usually the sons of Diti would be the demons. But the Maruts, instead of becoming the demons, they became the demigods. They were appointed by Indra as the demigods. And in that episode, Shukadev Goswami had mentioned that after Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, who are the sons of Diti, when they were killed by the Supreme Lord, Narsingadev and Varahadev, then Diti was feeling that, oh, Indra is responsible for the death of my sons because of the prayers of Indra, Lord appeared and killed my sons. So Diti wanted to take revenge against Indra, and then she performs a payovrata sacrifice or pumsavana sacrifice. But essential point which I want to mention here is that when Parikshit Maharaj was hearing this narration, so he got a question that why the Lord always takes the side of the demigods. The Lord took the side of Indra, and then on behalf of Indra, he killed Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So from this, Parikshit Maharaj gets a question that why is the Lord partial towards the demigods? So this is an important question, because when you know that somebody is actually partial towards somebody, then we may not actually want to take shelter of that particular person. So here Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question. So actually, in one sense, Parikshit Maharaj is actually a great devotee of the Lord. But he knows, he has full faith in the character of the Supreme Lord. But still he is asking this question. And by this question we will be benefited. So whenever, when a conditioned soul gets a doubt in the character of the Supreme Lord, then that doubt actually takes the conditioned soul away from the Supreme Lord. But when a pure devotee, when he gets a doubt, when he asks a question because of a certain doubt, and that answer to the question brings many conditioned souls close to the Supreme Lord. Because that answer to that question asked by the pure devotee of the Lord, that is going to clarify the doubts of so many conditioned souls about the nature of the Supreme Lord, and which will eventually bring the conditioned souls close to the Supreme Lord. Just like Arjuna, when a conditioned soul becomes bewildered, he commits, he takes some intoxicants, or he drinks, or he smokes, or sometimes he commits suicide. But when a great devotee, when he becomes bewildered, like Arjuna, when he became bewildered, then Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, and because of that Bhagavad Gita, so many people, they are able to come close to Krishna. So that is the difference between the doubt of a conditioned soul and the doubt of a the great devotee of the Lord. So when Parikshit Maharaj asked this question about the partiality of the Lord, Shukadev Goswami, in order to answer this question, he refers to an incident which happened in the Rajasuya sacrificial arena of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he refers to that particular incident, and then he refers to a question asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he says, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was performing a Rajasuya sacrifice, so at that time that Shishupal in the Rajasuya sacrifice, one person was supposed to be selected as the chief person. One person was supposed to be selected as the most important person in the sacrificial arena, and then he should be worshipped by following what is called as Agra Puja. In Agra Puja, the most important person is worshipped. So in that sacrificial arena, when there was a discussion about whom should be worshipped, then all the great authorities headed by Bhishma Dev, Yudhishthira Maharaj and different authorities concluded that Krishna should be worshipped in that sacrificial arena. So when Krishna was about to be worshipped, in fact, when Krishna was worshipped, after that, when Krishna was worshipped, there was this demon called Sishupal, who is also the cousin brother of Krishna. He became so envious and he started blaspheming Krishna by giving like so many blasphemous words against Krishna. And at that time, in fact, Sishupal, right from his birth, he was envious towards Krishna. But because at the request of his mother, Krishna gave a benediction that as long as Sishupal does not exceed 99, whenever he blasphemes me, if he does not exceed 99, I will not kill him. So every time Sishupal would be blaspheming Krishna, he would actually count and then at 99 he would stop. But on this occasion of Rajasya sacrifice, he was so much absorbed in the blasphemy towards Krishna. His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj, in one class he was explaining that Sishupal was very much envious towards Krishna, but when he was actually about to be married to Rukmini, that time his envy towards Krishna got little bit diverted towards Rukmini, towards the expectation of getting to enjoy Rukmini. So his envy became little diverted because he was actually like imagining about marrying Rukmini. But then when Krishna came at the last moment and then kidnapped Rukmini, then after that incident, Sishupal's envy increased hundreds of times. So because his expectation and all his imagination was completely devastated by Krishna at the least expected moment. And then, in the Rajasya sacrifice, when Krishna was glorified by all the members in the sacrificial arena, in fact, it is described that Yaddharma Sunur Bhata Rajasuye Nirikshya Drik Swastyayanam Triloka Katsyena Chadyeha Gatam Vidatur Arvak Sritav Kaushalam Ityamanyata. So Uddhava is remembering in the third canto that in the Rajasya sacrifice that all the demigods from all over the universe, they came and they declared that Krishna is the most beautiful person in the entire creation of Lord Brahma. Yaddharma Sunur Bhata Rajasuye Nirikshya Drik Swastyayanam Triloka. So it was the verdict of all the demigods who are all actually the most beautiful person in the different parts of the universe. They actually declared that Krishna is the most beautiful person in the whole creation of Lord Brahma. And so in that Rajasya sacrifice, when everyone was worshipping Krishna, at this point Sishupal's envy increased thousands and millions of times more. So because his envy increased unlimited amount, he could not actually keep a track of counting the number of blasphemies. Because at this time, he was so much absorbed in blasphemy towards Krishna that he couldn't actually keep a, he forgot to keep a track of the count. So, like, for example, like, when we are chanting the holy names, like, usually we are conscious of, oh, 2 rounds are over, 3 rounds are over, 4 rounds are over. So that means we are not having so much absorption. So when a person is actually absorbed, then he forgets to keep a track of a count of the holy names. So in this case, that's why in one class, Srinivas Radhanath Swami Maharaj explained that actually that Shishupal's envy towards Krishna is as inconceivable as Gopi's love towards Krishna. So it is on the same platform, it is on the same level of absorption as that of Gopi's love towards Krishna. But it is on the negative side. So at this time when Shishupal actually went on, he just exceeded beyond 99, so Krishna took his Sudarshan Chakra and killed Shishupal. So at that time, right in front of everyone, the soul from Shishupal's body entered into the body of Krishna. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj witnessed this particular event, so he asked a question to Narada Muni. So Shukadeva Goswami is narrating this incident, and then he is narrating a question asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Narada Muni. In fact, actually Krishna was personally present there. But still Yudhishthira Maharaj chose to ask a question to Narada Muni instead of to Krishna, because we can know Krishna only through the Guru. So therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj's question was that, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked a question that, why is the Lord so impartial? Shishupal was so much envious of Krishna, but Krishna has actually given Sayujya Mukti, he has awarded impersonal liberation to Shishupal, to such a demon who was so much absorbed in enmity towards Krishna. Why is the Lord so impartial? So you see that the demons who are killed by Krishna, who are absorbed in enmity towards Krishna, they are given liberation by the Supreme Lord. Tataiva chanye naraloka vira ya ahave Krishna mukaravindam netrai pibanto nayanabhiramam parthastra puta padamapurasya. So again Uddhava is remembering that those people who are killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so when they left their body, by seeing their beautiful form of Krishna, they actually attained liberation. So here, like Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhaktirasama Sindhu, there are many jnanis and yogis, they perform intense austerities to attain liberation. They, after many, many years of tapasya, sometimes after some lifetimes, they attain liberation. But what the jnanis attained after many, many years of tapasya, that result was given to Shishupal, who didn't perform any austerities. In fact, he was actually envious of Krishna. So this should be something, a surprising thing. Like somebody who performed so much of austerities and then he gets a result, and the same result is given to some outright criminal. Who didn't perform any of those austerities. Like, to give a simple example, that during the freedom fight, freedom fight in India. So after the India got freedom, so the government, in order to reciprocate with those people who struggled for the Indian freedom, so they devised certain schemes that those who are born in the freedom fighters' family, and they have special quota in the colleges or the jobs, or in the government jobs, etc. So like that, they introduce certain schemes. So for that, they have to just produce a certificate, all you have to do is that, you have to give a proof that I am from the same family as a freedom fighter. Then you have to give a certificate that, oh, my father was in jail, between 1913-1947, whatever the period. You have to give a certificate, my father was in jail. So then you will be given actually facility. But somebody might have gone to the jail during the same time for some pickpocket or some crime. So if he also produces a certificate, he may also get the same facility. But then somebody else may wonder, oh, this person committed a murder and went to the crime. How can he get the same facility as somebody who actually struggled for the Indian freedom? Oh, this is not proper. So similarly, so just like one would get such kind of doubt, Yudhishthira Maharaj is also having the such kind of doubt. Here, Shishupal is a person, he didn't perform any austerities like the jnanis or the yogis who perform intense yoga and tapasya in order to attain impersonal liberation. Whereas Shishupal, he didn't do any of those tapasya. On the other hand, he has got so many criminal records. But he has been given the same result. So why is the Lord so impartial? So you see that the grandfather's question is that why is the Lord so impartial? But the grandson's question is that why is the Lord so partial? In one sense, about the same event. So Parishit Maharaj had a question about from the event of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha being killed by the Supreme Lord. So actually Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they were the same personalities as Shishupal and Dantavakra. So when Jaya and Vijay, who are the doorkeepers from Vaikuntha, when they actually fell from Vaikuntha, so they were cursed to take birth as demons for 3 lifetimes. So the first lifetime they took birth as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. The second lifetime they took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And third lifetime they took birth as Shishupala and Dantavakra. So they were the same personalities. Hiranyakashipu was the same personality as Shishupala. And they were killed by the same person. Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narsingadev. And Shishupala was killed by another form of the Lord as Lord Krishna. So in one sense the event was exactly the same. But two different people perceived in a different manner, and the different questions were actually brought forth from the same event from one point of view. So grandson is getting a question, why is the Lord so partial? But the grandfather from the same event, he is getting a question that why is the Lord so impartial? So then Shukadeva Goswami continues the narration. In fact, Shukadeva Goswami is actually narrating this conversation which happened between Narada Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj explains that the Lord's nature is that anybody who is absorbed in Him, whether out of enmity or out of a favorable attitude, a person gets the same result. Kamad, Veshat, Bayat, Snehat. Like that Narada Muni speaks a beautiful verse. Whether a person is absorbed in Krishna out of lust or envy or out of fear or out of affection, a person gets the same result. Because the nature of the Supreme Lord is that He does not have a material body. And He has no identification with the body. He is completely spiritual in nature. So when a person has a material body, or a person may have a material body, when a person identifies with this material body, sometimes a person may have a material body, but he may not have the bodily concept of life. But as long as a person is in the bodily concept of life, when a person is identifying himself in the material body, then he will be affected by the insults. When somebody criticizes him, then the fact, when a person has a bodily concept of life, then he will be actually pained, or he'll get affected by that insult. But when a person is not having the bodily concept of life, then he will not be affected by the insults. Like once, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, like before he became a sannyasi, in his initial years of coming to Hare Krishna temple, once he approached Srila Prabhupada, and he reported to Srila Prabhupada that in your movement, there are prejudices among the devotees. The devotees, they actually discriminate between the white people and the black-skinned people. So he is from the African background. So when he mentioned that, Prabhupada said that But if you feel insulted by their, if you feel actually affected, if you feel insulted that they are actually discriminating based on the color of the skin, then what is the difference between them and you? One is that because of the bodily concept of life, a person discriminates, a person insults others. And another is that because of the same bodily concept of life, a person feels insulted. So Narada Muni essentially says that because the Supreme Lord, first of all, he does not have a material body. And then even if a person thinks that he has a material body, but the Lord does not have a bodily concept of life. So therefore, when the demon actually insults him, that he never feels actually offended. On the other hand, when the demons are actually absorbed in enmity towards Krishna, the Lord actually awards those demons liberation. So the main key point is that absorption. So there may be some demons who may not be absorbed in Krishna. Like for example, the example which is given is like Vena. Vena was also a demoniac person. Vena was also a king. He was a demoniac king. But he didn't have that absorption in enmity towards Krishna. So therefore, he didn't actually attain liberation. On the other hand, he went to hell. But in the case of Shishupal, but he was absorbed in enmity towards Krishna, and therefore the Lord actually gave him the impersonal liberation. So therefore, the point, the lesson from this is that if a person being absorbed in enmity towards Krishna, if that person gets the result of impersonal liberation, which is attained by the jnanis and yogis after so much of endeavor, then you can imagine the result awaiting for a devotee who is trying to render service to Krishna in a favorable mood. If a person who is having intense absorption in an unfavorable mood, if he can attain such a result, then you can understand what is awaiting for a person who is having a favorable attitude towards Krishna. So that is what Narada Muni is trying to indicate. So then when Narada Muni, at the end of when Narada Muni narrates the whole story of Prahlad Maharaj, after hearing the whole story of Prahlad Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj actually he feels, Prahlad Maharaj is such a great devotee. I am nowhere in comparison to Prahlad Maharaj. How can I actually attain such a devotion like that of Prahlad Maharaj? So Yudhishthira Maharaj feels little inferior and he was feeling little depressed in a transcendental manner. So that time Narada Muni, in order to pacify Prahlad Maharaj, he speaks a verse. In fact, from a technical point of view, Prahlad Maharaj comes under the category of Shantarasa. In Shantarasa, a person considers the Lord is so great, I am so insignificant. And the Pandavas, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, they come under the category of Sakyarasa, which is technically superior to the Shantarasa. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking that actually, Prahlad Maharaj is so great, I am so fallen. So he didn't say that, Prahlad Maharaj is only in Shantaras, we are in Sakyaras. No, he is actually feeling himself to be very fallen. That time, Narada Muni, in order to pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says that, Yuyam Riloke Bataburi Bhaga Lokam Punana Munayobi Anti Yesham Grihan Avasatiti Sakshad Gudam Param Brahma Manushya Lingam. He says that you Pandavas are so fortunate, Yuyam Riloke Bata Bhuri Bhaga. In the entire human society, you Pandavas are the most fortunate. Because Lokam Punana Munayobi Anti, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gudam Param Brahma Manushya Lingam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in this human form, he personally stayed at your house. And therefore, even the great sages, Lokam Punana Munayobi Anti, Even the great sages who purify the entire universe, they come to your palace in order to get purified. Yesham Griham Avasatiti Sakshat, because in your house the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally resided. So usually the great sages, they would never go to the, usually they would not actually associate with the royal dynasty, the kings, very intimately. Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj is one of the grand spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. So when he was in Navadvip, somebody requested him to come to Kolkata. It was actually more than 100 years back. But he said that Kolkata is hell, I don't want to go there. So 100 years back, he felt that time people were much more cultured compared to now, but Gaur Kishodas Sabaji Maharaj, he said that I don't want to go to some city where some people who are more materialistic in nature, I don't want to associate with them. So usually, in the previous time, the sages would not actually associate with the royal dynasty very intimately. They were, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never actually agreed to give his audience to Prataprudha Maharaj. But here the sages, this was actually 5,000 years back, the sages would actually visit the palace of Pandavas. It was something completely opposite to the culture which was present. So that, because the reason is that, because they felt that we would become purified by visiting the palace of the Pandavas, because Krishna personally resided there. So in this way, Narada Muni is actually glorifying the fortune of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So we can see that, yes, why I am telling this verse is that how Yudhishthira Maharaj, what was his appreciation of Prahlad Maharaj. So from that we can understand what is the character, what is the level of Prahlad Maharaj, what is the glory of Prahlad Maharaj. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj asks a question about why is it that Hiranyakashipu, he tried to kill his own son? What was the reason for such a kind of enmity between the father and the son? It is true that sometimes father would try to correct the son, chastise the son. But we have never heard that father trying to kill the son. So what is the reason for such an enmity? So then Narada Muni starts narrating the story that how the reason for Hiranyakashipu's enmity towards his son is that Hiranyakashipu considered Vishnu as the greatest enemy. The essential answer is that because Hiranyakashipu considered Vishnu as the greatest enemy of his life, and because his son was the devotee of Vishnu, so therefore he had enmity towards Prahlad Maharaj because of the common enemy. Sometimes in political parties, so we see that two political parties, two leaders who are previously snake and mongoose, but they actually, they form a coalition because there is a, not because they found some friendship, because there was a common enemy. So similarly here, so Hiranyakashipu, he had a deep enmity towards Vishnu. And because his son was a devotee of Vishnu. So what was the reason for his enmity towards Vishnu? Because Vishnu killed his brother Hiranyaksha. Vishnu appeared as Varagadeva and killed his brother Hiranyaksha. So the seventh canto, second chapter starts with how the relatives of Hiranyaksha were actually mourning for the death of Hiranyaksha. So that time, Hiranyakashipu starts actually preaching to the relatives of Hiranyaksha, the wives and the different relatives of Hiranyaksha. So you see, Hiranyakashipu was a, we can compare Hiranyakashipu's preaching versus Prahlad Maharaj's preaching. So in the seventh canto, you will find that Hiranyakashipu's preaching to the relatives of Hiranyaksha, that comes in the second chapter of seventh canto. And the sixth and seventh chapter contains the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to his classmates. So there are so many beautiful verses and purports, but just one point I want to mention. In fact, Hiranyakashipu, it is described that Shlakshnaya Desha Kalagya Idam Aha Janeshwara. So Hiranyakashipu was expert in speaking according to the Desha Kala Patra, time, place and circumstance, and he spoke in a very sweet word. He spoke very sweet words to the relatives of Hiranyaksha. So when you see Hiranyakashipu's preaching, he spoke philosophy and he also spoke nice stories to actually so that the people can easily understand the philosophy. So he is a very good public speaker. How to actually keep the audience attentive, how to send the message across, how to give the philosophy with masala, so with the nice stories, so that it will go deep into the heart. So, but in the case of, so Prahlad Maharaj also preached to his classmates, but the difference is that Hiranyakashipu did not believe in what he spoke. So Hiranyakashipu spoke about the difference between the body and the soul. The relatives of Hiranyaksha, they were so much lamenting for the death of Hiranyaksha that they were not ready to go to the next step. They were not ready to actually go ahead in life. They just kept on lamenting. So lamentation is a sign of a Shudra, as Krishna says that, why are you just lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief? Kutastva kashmalam idam vishame samupastitam anarya jushtam asvargyam akirti karam arjuna. So why are you lamenting for something which is not worthy of grief? So here, in order to stop their lamentation and so that they can actually go ahead, so that they can actually do the further duty, so Hiranyakashipu is speaking about the difference between the body and the soul. Body is temporary and the soul is eternal. But although he talked about the temporary nature of the body, but after speaking to them, he went on to perform austerities in order to attain immortality in the bodily platform, which is against what he spoke. That means he did not believe in what he spoke. So but on the other hand, Prahlad Maharaj's preaching was, it was inside out. So what he was teaching was that he had actually, he had digested and he had complete faith in it. And as a result of that complete faith and what he had digested, that was actually coming out when he was actually preaching to his classmates. But Hiranyakashipu was just preaching for the outsiders, but within his heart, he did not actually believe in it. So, and then going further in that story, like he told us, but when Hiranyakashipu spoke these teachings, although he did not believe, but the relatives of Hiranyaksha, because they heard in a samisi mood, they became transformed. They stopped their lamentation. So that means, when a person gives oral reception to the right message, in the right attitude, even if the speaker does not, even the speaker actually, he is a demoniac person, he does not have the right attitude, but if the person who is hearing, if he is having the right attitude, he can get transformed. So that's why Radhanath Swami Maharaj would say that, so even if the speaker is not so advanced, but if the hearer is having the right attitude, if he is eager to hear, then Krishna would inspire from the speaker something which is beyond his realization, just to reciprocate with the eagerness of the hearer. So just like, for example, so when a person is addicted to cricket, so he wants to know the score. So he will want to know the score, whether the score is told by the commentator in a poetic form or in a normal form. Because he is mainly interested in the score. So similarly, when a person is actually interested in the message, when a person is interested in the right message, then whether it is spoken with a nice, beautiful manner, in a poetic manner, or it may be spoken, may not be in a very nice manner, so one will actually continue to hear. So here the relatives of Hiranyaksha, because they had somewhat a submissive attitude in hearing, so they became transformed on hearing, although they heard from a demoniac person. So similarly, we see in the Bhagavad Gita, when Sanjaya, so here in the case of Hiranyakashipu and the relatives of Hiranyaksha, the speaker was not transformed, but the hearers were transformed. So in the Bhagavad Gita, when Sanjaya spoke the entire Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra, but the hearer was not transformed because he didn't have the right attitude. But the speaker was transformed. He says that, Rajan samsmritya samsmritya, samvadam imam adbhutam, keshavarjunayo punya hrishyamicha muhur muhuhu. As I remember this wonderful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, my hairs are standing on end. So therefore, basically the most important is that the state of consciousness of the instructor and the instructed. If the consciousness of the instructor is proper, even if the instructed, the people who are hearing, even if they are not receptive, but the person who is speaking will get transformed. If the those who are hearing, if they are having the right attitude, even if the speaker is not very advanced, but they will be transformed if the message is proper. So, and another thing we can see here is that Hiranyakashipu, Srinath Radhana Samari explained that Hiranyakashipu, when he was speaking to the relatives of Hiranyaksha, he was speaking the right philosophy, but he had a wrong purpose. Okay, he wanted to pacify their lamentation, but ultimately his purpose was that to kill Vishnu, to attain immortality in the body. So, in that sense, he had a completely wrong intention to actually, he even spoke about, in his teachings, he said that ultimately the Lord is the supreme controller. Everyone's death is determined according to his karma, but under the direction of the supreme Lord. But then ultimately he wanted to kill the supreme Lord. So one may speak the right philosophy, but with the wrong purpose. And sometimes, one may speak a wrong philosophy but with the right intention. For example, in the Ramayana, when Lord Ram was in the forest, that time Bharat Maharaj and the different ministers of Ayodhya and Ayodhya Vasi, they came to take back Lord Ram. So one of the ministers called as Jabali, in fact, that when Bharat Maharaj was conversing with Ram, Lord Ram told Bharat that he said that actually it is the duty of a son to follow the orders of the father. A son is called a putra because he saves his father from going to the hell. And by following the orders of the father, a son, he gets a better destination in his next life. This is the dharma of the son. So therefore, because my father's desire is that I should go to the forest, I want to follow the order of my father. So at that time, one of the ministers, Jabali, he speaks to Lord Ram. He says that, like in this world, in fact, Hiranyakashipu also gives the same analogy. He says that, Bhutanam iha samvasa, Prapayam iva suvrate, Daive naikatra neetanam, unneetanam swakarma bihi. So, Hiranyakashipu is telling the relatives that actually in this world when travelers come together, sometimes to drink water, so at that time there were no hotels, no concept of selling food. So sometimes when they would be traveling, they would just come to drink water in some place. So they would just drink water and then each one would go in different directions. So nobody would say that, oh, we are so, oh, that person has gone there. They would not become attached to those people whom they met during actually drinking water. So Jabali also, the same analogy was given by Jabali. He says that just like that in this world sometimes we have parents. So we have our contact with the parents. Our parents should occupy our thoughts only during our contact, only during their contact with us. Just like our, like the different travelers whom we meet, we think about them only during the travel. We don't think about them after the travel is over. So similarly, we should think about our parents only when they are present, when we are in contact with them. Once the parents have left their body, then we don't have to think about what they have said, what their instruction, we don't have to think about that. So Dashrath Maharaj has already died. So why are you thinking about fulfilling his desire? So he is speaking something, adharmic principle. And then Jabali says that actually, ultimately life comes from chemicals. Because Lord Ram said that by following the orders of father, he gave this body, so therefore we have to fulfill our obligation towards the father. But Jabali is saying that ultimately that it is but an idle tale that father begets a son. Rather the sperm and the gem that come together from the bodies of the man and woman when they are in season. So actually there is no life after that. Don't think that, oh, father has given this body. Actually there is no life after that. It is just a combination of life, just a combination of chemicals. And there is no need to follow this dharma, following the orders of the father. So in this way, Jabali is speaking an atheistic philosophy of Charvak for the intention of, with the intention of bringing Lord Ram to Ayodhya. So the point here is that, I'm saying is that, we are focusing on the intention. The intention is more important than even even if you are, you may be doing the right philosophy, but the intention is more important. So Hiranyakashipu was speaking the right philosophy but with the wrong intention. So, like there is a quote which says that, the truth spoken with bad intention can be more destructive than all the lies we can invent. Therefore the intention is important. Like the road to hell is very much paved by people who believe they have good intentions. So in this way Hiranyakashipu spoke these philosophies. And then later Hiranyakashipu starts actually terrorizing the universe. He sends all the demons to actually stop all the sacrifices and kill the different brahmanas who are performing the sacrifices, to kill all the cows. So at that time, and then he brings all the demigods under his control. So at that time, the demigods, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord. At one point they take shelter, they offer praise to Lord Vishnu. So then there is a very beautiful verse which Lord Vishnu speaks to the demigods. So when they offer praise to Lord Vishnu does not appear in front of the demigods, but he speaks to them. There was an unembodied voice. And in that verse, Lord Vishnu says, Ma Baishta Vibhuda Shreshta Sarvesham Badramastuva Mad Darshanam Hi Bhutanam Sarva Shreyopa Pupataye. So he's saying that Vibhuda Shreshta, the best of the demigods, you should wait for some time. Sarvesham, I wish that all good fortune unto all of you. Sarvesham Badramastuva Mad Darshanam Hi Bhutanam Sarva Shreyopa Pupataye. That means my darshan, seeing me, will give the highest benefit to all living beings. And then he says that I actually know the evil actions of Hiranyakashipu, but wait for the time till I appear. So this verse is an interesting verse, because Vishnu is saying Mad Darshanam Hi Bhutanam Sarva Shreyo Upapattaye. By taking my darshan, one will get all good fortune. But the way Srila Prabhupada has given translation to this verse, that is very interesting. So Mad Darshana means taking darshan of me. But Prabhupada has given a translation that by hearing and chanting my glories and by offering me prayers and by rendering devotional different devotional activities towards me, one will get all good fortune. One will get all auspiciousness in his life. Sarva shreyo upapattaye. So Prabhupada, instead of translating mad darshanam as taking darshan of me, he is translating as by engaging in different activities of devotional service. And Prabhupada gives a beautiful purport. Because here, what is happening is that the demigods are offering prayers to Vishnu and they are not able to see Vishnu. And they are only hearing the words of Vishnu. So Prabhupada is saying that offering prayers to Vishnu or chanting the glories of Vishnu or hearing about Krishna, it is actually equivalent to taking darshan of Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada is translating, instead of giving a literal translation to mad darshanam, he is translating as engaging in different devotional activities. So he writes in the purport that performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound Hare Krishna is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. And one must realize this position and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. So then Lord Vishnu says to the demigods, when Hiranyakashipu commits offense my devotee Prahlad, who will be his son, so at that time I will appear. So you see that sometimes you may wonder that Hiranyakashipu was doing so much of atrocities, but he was not actually appearing only. The Lord was not appearing to kill Hiranyakashipu. So one may wonder, like, there are so many people who are doing so many wrong activities, why nothing is happening to them? So the point is that the Vaishnava aparad, or the sinful activities, the offense to Vaishnavas, they are like a tidal wave. So when a tidal wave happens, tidal wave comes because of the earthquake within the ocean. So when there is an earthquake within the ocean, you don't see the earthquake happening within the ocean because ocean is covered by water. And then when the earthquake happens within the ocean, and that earthquake actually generates a tidal wave. And the tidal waves actually, they come at the speed of like 500,000 kilometers per hour. But when the tidal wave is actually flowing, that time also you don't see the tidal waves actually flowing. And you actually perceive the tidal wave only when the tidal wave hits the shore. But actually, it has been coming since quite some time. So similarly, the Vaishnava aparad is also like the sinful activities, general sinful activities are the Vaishnava aparad, they are like tidal waves. Sometimes people are committing sinful activities, nothing is happening. Actually, but what is happening is the tidal wave is already flowing. But you are not able to see, the reactions are already coming. But when the sinful reactions reaches a particular moment, and suddenly there is such an reaction, sometimes individually and also collectively. At that time you realize that, oh, why suddenly such a reaction is coming? No, actually the reactions have been coming. You are not seeing that. Tidal waves have been coming, but you are not seeing that. So therefore, Lord Vishnu is telling that, I know the evil activities of Hiranyakashipu, but wait till the time I appear. When he offends my greatest devotee, that time I will appear and I will destroy him. So, you see, the conflict between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj, and from one point of view, it is based on the education system. So Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad Maharaj to be trained in a particular education system. He actually sent him to the school of Sandar Namarka. So Prahlad Maharaj but did not follow the education system of the Shandarna Marga. So like there is one beautiful verse which comes in the second, seventh canto, fifth chapter. It says that yattatra guruna proktam sushruve anupapatatha na sadhu manasa mene swaparashad grahashrayam. So when Prahlad Maharaj, like, he didn't have any option. He didn't have any other option apart from the school of Shandarna Marga. So he had to go to that school, and he was actually studying the lessons taught by Shandarna Marga. And he would actually study those lessons, but in his mind, he did not accept those lessons. Na sadhu mene, na sadhu manasa mene. So this is a very important verse, because so many times like we may want to be trained in a particular education system, the current education system which is there in India, that is also in one sense the run by the representatives of Shandarna Marga. So it is also run by the representatives of Shandarna Marga. So Prahlad Maharaj also had to undergo education in such a system. But Prahlad Maharaj, because he was rooted in the teachings of Narada Muni, so therefore he did not get affected by that education. In his mind, he did not accept. So on a physical platform, he didn't have the choice. He had to go to that school. But in his mind, he had the choice. No, I am not going to accept these teachings in my mind. So that is because he was actually trained and he was actually rooted in the teachings of Narada Muni. So therefore, similarly, the present education system, whether you accept it or not, actually the present education system, in one sense, it is created to basically to facilitate the industrialization. It is created to actually facilitate the consumeristic culture. It is created to separate a person from the family. But for most people, we don't have the option. But at least we have to be aware of this, and therefore it becomes a greater responsibility to be trained in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and to be rooted in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. So we may not have many options in the physical platform. Yeah, we should try to, in the sense, we should put an effort to create an alternative education system. We have to honestly introspect how much we are helpless and how much we are not helpless. So to certain extent we may be helpless, but to some extent we may have a choice. So when we have the choice in a certain area, there we have to make the choice. That which may mean that compromising on a certain monetary level. But at the same time, the point I am trying to make is that when we are rooted in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, then we can actually clearly see the fallacies of this education system. So Prahlad Maharaj, because he was rooted in the teachings of Narada Muni, he could clearly see the empty nature of the education system of Shandarna Marga. The superficiality of the education system. So therefore, he did not accept in his mind. So nobody can force us to accept in our mind the education system. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, na sadhu manasa mene, he did not accept in his mind. In fact, as I mentioned in one of the previous class, also I mentioned that one of the purpose of the present education system, as devised by the people who started the system, in their original document they mentioned is there to separate a person from the family, because that will actually create a consumeristic culture. But when a person is in a family, one can learn so many things. Like there is one beautiful song which I heard that a good family is itself a good actually university. A good family is itself a good university. Nalla oru kudumbam palgalai kalagam. Like that, there's a Tamil song which I remember. That, so anyway, the point here is that, so Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, yeah, yeah, going further ahead, when Prahlad Maharaj was called by Hiranyakashipu, I mean, Hiranyakashipu asked him that what is the best thing you have learnt in your school. So that time Prahlad Maharaj says that Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punas Charvita Charvananam. So he says that Matirna Krishne Paratasvatava. For those people who are Grihavratas, who have actually attached the household life, and Adanta Gobir, who are going to enter hell because of their uncontrolled senses, Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram, and for those people who are chewing, which are already being chewed, Puna Puna Charvita Charvananam, for these people, inclination to the Supreme Lord does not arise either by their own effort or by others' influence or by the combination of both. Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mitobi Padyeta, by the combination of both, by their own effort, by others' effort, or by the combination of both, they cannot actually develop attraction toward the Supreme Lord. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is talking about, especially I just want to highlight this word, Puna Punas Charvita Charvanana. So he says that, for the materialistic person, he is simply taking pleasure in enjoying or chewing that which has already been chewed. So he is talking about the nature of material sense gratification in any form, the sense, especially material sense gratification, which is not like in any form, just actually saying that it is simply nothing but chewing that which has already been chewed. Eating, mating, sleeping, defending, or any form of sense gratification. So it is like, but although it is simply chewing which has already been chewed, but the Maya is so powerful that still chewing, but the chewing, the chewing that which has already been chewed, it appears something extraordinary. So it is said, sense gratification is actually extraordinarily ordinary, but Maya actually makes it appear as if it is extraordinarily special. So in the sense, like for example, like any form of sense gratification, it is extraordinarily ordinary because of three reasons. One reason is because of the frequency. Like we see different advertisements or newspapers or magazines, they project different forms of sense gratification, but actually and make a person feel as if it is extraordinarily special. But actually, if you see from the point of view of frequency, that any form of sense gratification, it is available, it has been enjoyed, it has been, people have been trying to gratify the senses through these different different objects of sense gratification since time immemorial, right from the beginning of creation, all the different living entities have been enjoying all form of sense gratification right from the beginning of creation. It is not something very new which is available today. So therefore, from the point of view of frequency, it is available at every point in the creation. And from the point of view of availability, it is available in all species of life. Any form of sense gratification, it is not, the advertisements make it appear as if it is available only in the human form of life. But actually it is available in even the species of hogs or dogs. So from the point of availability, it is available in all the species. And somebody may say, okay, maybe from the point of view of creation, from the beginning of creation, sense gratification has been enjoyed by different living entities, and it is available in all species, but in my life I have not enjoyed previously. One may think like that. That may be possible if you are just fallen from the spiritual world just in the last lifetime. But actually, we as every living entity, we have also been familiar with the sense gratification since time immemorial. We have also enjoyed different objects of sense gratification in every lifetime since so many millions of lifetimes. Therefore, from the point of your frequency, availability and familiarity, sense gratification is actually extraordinarily ordinary. It is completely commonplace and pedestrian. But Maya is so powerful, the power of illusory energy is so powerful, that it appears that which is extraordinarily ordinary, we think that it is something extraordinarily special. So that is what Prahlad Maharaj says, that puna puna charvita charvananam. That materialistic people, because they are attached to chewing that which has already been chewed, they cannot develop their attraction towards Krishna by their own efforts or through others' efforts. And then just few verses from Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. Prahlad Maharaj, one of the two full chapters are there. One verse he says that, Nahi achyutam prinayato bahvayasu asuratmaja atmatvat sarva bhutanam siddhatvat iha sarvatah. So he says that my dear sons of the demons, the Supreme Lord is the original super soul of every living entity, and he is the father of all living entities. So therefore, there are no impediments in actually pleasing the Supreme Lord. One can please the Supreme Lord in any condition, whether as a child or as an old man. Because the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the living entity is always a fact. So Prabhupada has written a brilliant purport. So he says that, just like there is no difficulty in establishing a relationship between a father and a son, similarly, there is no difficulty in re-establishing the natural intimate relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of God. So, he says that in the case of in other relationships, sometimes a person puts intense endeavor, but still one is not able to please the family or the nation or the community whom he is serving. Even after putting like many years of dedicated service, somebody may be working in a company, he might have worked for a project for weeks together, putting extra amounts of work, but somehow he has not delivered the work in proper time. But he may be chastised for that, and the boss will not consider the like so many weeks of hard work. So it is very difficult to actually please a person, even in this world, in any relationship, even after putting so much of effort. But on the other hand, pleasing the Supreme Lord is so easy that one can please the Supreme Lord even with a mental paraphernalia. Even if a person is not able to offer something physically, even if a person offers mentally, one will be pleased. The Lord will be pleased. But it is not possible on a material platform. If a wife asks from a husband that I want a golden necklace, the husband says that, oh, I will offer in your mind. If not able to please, or if the husband says that you please make rasgulla, the wife says that no, I will make in my mind. So by that it's difficult to please, but the Lord will be pleased even by offering the mental paraphernalia. So and then Prahlad Maharaj, in his conclusion of his teachings, he speaks a very beautiful verses. I will just mention few verses. So he explains that how Krishna is the supreme object of affection, sarvesham api bhutanam Harir Atmeshwara Priya. So the Lord is the supreme object of affection. And then he says that he gives his own example. That whether a demon or a demigod or a human being or a yaksha or a gandharva or an animal, if a person becomes situated in the service of the Supreme Lord, one will attain the auspicious condition of life just like me. So Prahlad Maharaj is not making them feel that I am very special, that you cannot attain my situation. He is giving them the feeling that anybody who renders service to the Lord can attain an auspicious situation just like me. Just like me. So therefore, he is giving that hope to the his classmates. And then he explains that by other processes like karma or jnana or so many other ritualistic processes, one cannot please the Supreme Lord. The only way to please the Supreme Lord is by practicing bhakti. And then finally he explains that Tato haro bhagavati bhaktim kuruta danava atma upamyena sarvatra sarva bhutatmanishvare. He says that how one should perform bhakti? One should perform bhakti by seeing at all times others' happiness as one's own happiness and others' distress as one's own distress. That means the attitude of performing bhakti to the Supreme Lord, it should not be in a selfish manner. I'm just concerned with my own sadhana. So one should perform bhakti to the Supreme Lord in the attitude of considering others' distress as one's own distress and others' happiness as one's own happiness. So Prabhupada writes that a devotee, in the life of a devotee, like without Krishna consciousness, his life has no meaning. So that's what he feels in his life, in his life. So therefore, he feels that how can these people who have no Krishna consciousness, because of that they are suffering so much. So therefore, I should actually try to bring them close to Krishna. Therefore, a devotee, even when he is performing devotional service to Krishna, he wants to bring others close to Krishna. And then he says that bhakti does not depend on good birth. Whatever birth one may have taken, if a person worships Krishna, one will get spiritual body. Santihi achyutatmanam gata. So the word achyuta comes many places in the Gita and the Bhagavatam. Like for example, in the Bhagavad Gita first chapter, the word achyuta means Krishna is called as achyuta because he never fails in his affection for his devotees. Senayor ubayor madhye ratam sthapaya mechyuta. And after Arjuna sees the universal form of Krishna, again Arjuna addresses Krishna by the word achyuta. He says that, so many times I actually dealt with you jokingly, I tried to chastise you. So please forgive me for all my offenses. Because you are achyuta, one who never fails to forgive his devotees, so please forgive me. On the 18th chapter, Arjuna says that, Arjuna addresses Krishna by the word achyuta. Nashtamoho smritir ladva tvatprasadat maya achyuta. Because you are achyuta who never fails to protect the vows of his devotees. Therefore, by your mercy, I am again remembering my vow which I have taken at the time of Draupadi's disrobing. Another meaning of the word achyuta means that one who never deviates from rasa. Satam ayam sarabhrutam nisargo. There's a verse in which Shukadeva Goswami is telling to Parikshit Maharaj that because Krishna never deviates from rasa. Krishna never deviates from rasa. So therefore, Krishna katha appears newer and newer to your devotee. But here when Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, when he is using the word achyuta, the meaning of the word achyuta here is that the Lord is called as achyuta because the devotees of Krishna do not fall from their position at the time of universal destruction. So therefore, Krishna is called as Achyuta. So he is saying that whether a demon or a demigod, whatever may be a person's birth, if a person renders devotional service to the Lord, one will actually attain spiritual bodies. One will attain the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And then, so when Prahlad Maharaj gave his teachings, at the end Prahlad Maharaj told his actually classmates that just consider, now you decide, I have given the teachings, now you decide what you want to do. Nirupyatam iha swartha kiyan deha brutaswara. Why don't you consider the futile nature of fruitive activities and consider the superior nature of devotional service? So the difference between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj was that Hiranyakashipu imposed his views on others. And anybody who did not follow his views, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill them. But in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, he did not actually impose his views on others. After giving his teachings, he gave the freedom to them. Now you consider and you decide what you want to do. And just last few points will end. So this, when Narsingadev appeared, after killing Hiranyakashipu, and after killing all the other demons who came to attack him, Narsingadev sits on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. When he sits on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, so Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport over there. So it is said that actually, when a person wants to offer something to the Lord, we have to offer something which has not been used by others. But here, Hiranyakashipu, like Narsingadev, is sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, which has been already been used by Hiranyakashipu, who is a demon. And moreover, Hiranyakashipu did not offer the throne for Narsingadev. It was very impure and it was already used by a demonic person and it was not offered to Narsingadev, but still Narsingadev sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. There are many great sages who are trying to purify different objects and then they offer it to the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the Lord does not accept. But here, Hiranyakashipu has not offered the throne to the Supreme Lord and it is very impure, but still Narsingadev sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. Why is Narsingadev sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu? Because ultimately Hiranyakashipu is a devotee of the Lord. So therefore, even though Hiranyakashipu did not offer that, Lord wanted to give him some credit by accepting some service. So Prabhupada writes here that this shows the fortunate position of a devotee in any condition of life. So here at Hiranyakashipu is a devotee, but he has become a demon. But a devotee is actually fortunate even when he has become a demon, because the Lord does not fail to accept service from a devotee, even if the devotee had forgotten him, but the Lord does not forget that he is actually my devotee. And then, in fact, this famous verse comes that what is the reason for Narsingadev's appearance? Satyam vidatum nijabrutya bhashitam vyaptim chabute shakileshu chatmana adrushyadyatad butaruba mudvahan stambe sabayam na mrugam na manusham. So in this particular verse, it is described that Satyam vidatum nija brutya bhashitam. In order to make the words of his devotee or his dear servants true, the Lord appeared from the pillar in a form which is neither a human being nor an animal. And who is actually all pervading. Vyaptim cha bhutesh akilesh, who is actually all pervading. So actually, when few days back, Narsingh Chaturdashi day, when Gaur Gopal Prabhu narrated about the incident from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Narada Muni was glorifying Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord is so actually kind towards you that he did not show such favor to any of the demigods. What is because of demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even he did not show such favor to Lakshmi Devi and Garuda, but he showed such favor unto you. Just to prove your words true, the Lord appeared. So that is how Narada Muni glorified Prahlad Maharaj. But how Prahlad Maharaj responded to that glorification. So from the point of view of Narada Muni, the meaning of this particular verse is that Narasingadev appeared in order to prove the words of Prahlad Maharaj true. Just to show affection towards Prahlad Maharaj. But from the point of view of Prahlad Maharaj, what is the reason for the Lord's appearance? So from the point of view of Prahlad Maharaj says that the Lord appeared in this world actually to protect the demigods like Indra, Chandra and the Brahma and others who are his faithful devotees. And the second reason for the Lord appeared is that the Lord appeared in this world in order to free his two Vaikuntha devotees, that is Jaya and Vijay, who have been cursed by the four Kumaras. So Jaya and Vijay, they have been cursed to take birth as the demons for three lifetimes. So the Lord appeared in order to fulfill the words of his devotees, the four Kumaras, in order to actually free his two devotees from the curse of the four Kumaras. And the third reason he mentions is that the Lord appeared in order to fulfill the words of several of his devotees. And that is why he appeared. Lord did not appear to prove my devotees. The Lord appeared to prove the words of the devotees, words of his devotees, the four Kumaras. What were the words of the four Kumaras? The four Kumaras, they had predicted that Jaya and Vijay, when they would take birth as the demons, they would be killed by the Supreme Lord. In order to make the words of the four Kumaras true, the Lord appeared. And then Prahlad Maharaj says that the Lord appeared in order to predict the words of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma had predicted the Supreme Lord's appearance as Narasingadev. When Hiranyakashipu asked the benediction from Brahmaji, that Hiranyakashipu said that I should not be killed within the house, outside the house, I should not be killed in the air, I should not be killed by any weapon. So many benedictions he asked. So Lord Brahma said, let it be. So in order to prove all the words of Lord Brahma, so the Lord appeared. Lord did not appear to fulfill my words. And then Prahlad Maharaj says that Lord appeared in order to prove the words of Narada Muni. What were the words of Narada Muni? When Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, when she was pregnant, so all the demigods went to kill Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of Kayadu. But then Narada Muni came and told the demigods that the son within the child within the womb of Kayadu is a great devotee, and you cannot kill him because he is a great devotee of the Lord. Because Narada Muni said that he is a devotee and he will not be actually, you cannot kill him because he is protected by the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in order to prove the words of Narada Muni true, the Lord appeared. Not to make my words true. And then, another reason he says is that the Lord appeared in order to fulfill the words of Hiranyakashipu, who is his devotee only. So Hiranyakashipu tells in one of the verses in the 7th canto, he says that perhaps this son Prahlad Maharaj, this son Prahlad is so powerful that although I am trying to kill him, and I am not able to kill him in so many ways, he is so powerful, maybe my death is only in the hands of Prahlad Maharaj. My death is going to happen because of Prahlad. So like that Hiranyakashipu spoke a verse. So in order to prove the words of Hiranyakashipu, who is his devotee, so therefore the Lord appeared. Lord did not appear to prove my words. And then finally Prahlad Maharaj says, the Lord also appeared to prove his own words true, which is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Kauntaya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati, that my devotee will never perish. It is not because to prove my words true. And then finally Prahlad Maharaj says that actually Narsingadev appeared not to show some special favor to me. Narsingadev appeared just to glorify the position of pure devotional service. Even if a person who is born in a demoniac family, if he renders sincere devotional service, he will be protected. In order to establish this Siddhanta, so therefore he appeared, not because something, I am very special. So otherwise, how can you say that Lord does not show his favor to demigods, and how can you say that he does not show favor to Lakshmi Devi and Garuda, who are actually his associates in Vaikuntha? So the Lord actually appeared to actually establish the position of pure devotional service, not to prove that I am something very special. So in this way, that Prahlad Maharaj, we can see Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness in these words. Because there are many beautiful verses spoken by Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers and in his teachings. But at this point, I would like to end here. If anybody has any one question or comment, we can take the result in the class.
Hare Krishna. The Lord Vishnu, when the four Kumaras curse Jaya and Vijay, that they will take birth in the material world, right? Lord Vishnu told them that after three births, you will come back to me. And now we hear that Shishupal attained impersonal liberation. So how do we reconcile these two things?
No, Shishupal, he attained personal liberation. Like he. It is described in the Bhagavatam that he merged in the body of the Lord.
Okay.
Initially attained Sayujya Mukti, and then he actually became actually reinstated in his position.
Okay.
He attained the personal liberation as the associate of the Lord.
Okay. Thank you.
Described in the Bhagavatam. Thank you, Prabhu. Rantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Hare. Let us thank Radhika Vallabh Prabhu for the wonderful class. Three times Hari Bol. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!